So if you haven't done so already, do grab your message outline as we go through this together. Now, we're going to begin 40 days in the Word in another week's time. But this Sunday, I want to give you an introduction to where we're going as we go through the 40 days in the Word spiritual growth campaign together. That we will love the Word, learn the Word, and live out the Word during these next 40 days. And now, if you've been part of CEC for a while, you will know that we've done a number of these spiritual growth campaigns over the years. If this is your first one, that's great, as we're going to have a great time together over these next 40 days. And I really believe it's going to be really helpful and effective for us all. Now, with the spiritual growth campaigns, there are four key components. There is a message component, there is a small group component, there is a daily devotional component, and there is a scriptural memory component. And for the next 6 Sundays, what we're going to do in the messages, we're going to look at a different aspect of the Bible. And the first thing we're going to look at is the inspiration of the Bible. In other words, how can I trust the Bible? How do I know the Bible is true and I can trust it for my life? Then, week 2, we're going to look at the foundation of the Bible. What is the purpose of the Bible? And we're going to see the big picture of the scriptures. What is the overarching theme and the purpose of the Bible? I mean, you may know this, I'm sure you do. It is 66 books in one book. So it's really kind of like a library, but they all point to the same basic theme. Then week 3, we're going to look at the illumination of the Bible. That is, how does God illuminate my mind so that I can see what he wants me to see in the Bible? You know, sometimes you read a verse and you can read it over and over and over and it doesn't seem to hit you. Then one day you read it and you go, wow, I've never seen that before. What just happened? Well, the Holy Spirit happened. The Holy Spirit illuminated your mind. And we're going to talk about how he does that as well. And then week 4, we're going to look at the interpretation of the Bible. That is, how do I know what a verse means? Because a lot of times you hear people say, well, that's just your interpretation. As if everybody can have their own particular interpretation of a verse. But the fact is, there are correct ways to interpret the Bible and there are incorrect ways. So when you interpret it correctly, you get what God says, you get what God wants you to know. But when you interpret incorrectly, well, you kind of get all these weird and wacky ideas. And there's plenty of those out there. Just have a look online and you'll see find plenty. But you see, the Bible means what it means and you have to understand the principles of interpretation. And I'll teach you some of that. Then week 5, we're going to look at the integration of the Bible. That is, how do I put the Bible into every area of my life? At work, at home, in my family life, in my finances, every different area of my life. And then finally, week 6, we're going to look at the application of the Bible. That is, how to use the Bible in specific ways. So that's what we're going to be looking at in the message series. Each Sunday, I'm going to set the theme for the week, and this is kind of giving you an overview of what the 6 messages are going to look like. But you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg, because the next element of 40 days is the life group studies. And what you'll find is that in your life group, you will watch 6 DVD teaching sessions, and then in these sessions, you will look at how to study the Bible for yourself so that you're not dependent upon anybody else. And what you're going to do is you're going to learn the devotional Bible study method. There are lots of different ways to study the Bible, but we're going to look at particularly the devotional Bible study method. So listen, you know, we've been plugging them over the last few weeks. If you're not in a life group, you're going to want to get in one before we start next week. And you can sign up for that, details in the bulletin about how to do so. And then element number 3 are the 40-day devotionals, where every day you'll take about 5 minutes a day and have a little devotional time with God about the Word. And we've been talking about these workbooks. The workbook contains everything for this spiritual growth campaign, as well as the daily devotionals, a place to journal what God is teaching you, as well as lots of extra articles and helps that they'll just help you get deeper into the Word of God. It's an amazing book, and I really encourage you to get one if you've not got one yet. And then finally, the 4th component is a weekly, easy-to-remember Bible verse. Together, each week, we're going to memorize one short Bible verse about the Bible itself, so that by the end of 40 days, you, hopefully, will know 6 important Bible verses. And these verses kind of tell us about what Scripture is. And we're going to give you a little key ring, and each week a little tag, with that week's Bible verse on it, so you can keep it with you, you know, when you're at work or when you're out and about. It's just there with you. You've got it during the week. And we're going to have a lot of fun with this, and the children will be learning the verses at the same time as well, which is really exciting. So this Sunday, to start us off, I want us to look at how do you build your life on the Bible. Now, Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount, the most famous sermon in the Bible, by telling a story. He says there were these two guys that they went out and they both built homes. They built them on different foundations, though. One guy built his house on solid rock. The other guy built his house on sand. Then unexpected winds came, the trials and the storms of life. And we know what that's like, don't we, with the kind of winds that we've had in the last week or so. In a sense, a tsunami hit those homes in Jesus' story. The winds came, the floods rose, and the rains came down. And the house that was built on the shifting foundation of sand ultimately collapsed. But the house that was built on solid rock was able to withstand the storms. And as Jesus' parable wants us to understand, that it gives us the idea of storms that come in our lives. Jesus says, after telling his story in Matthew 7 verse 24, "Everyone who hears these words of mine," that's the word of God, "and puts them into practice is like that wise man who built his house on the rock." How do you build your life on the Bible? So that you're building on solid rock? So that when the storms and trials and difficulties of life, as they inevitably come, you'll be able to handle it. How do you do that? Well, the answer to that is to look at the way God made you. You see, God gave you five senses: hear, smell, see, taste, and touch. Everything you know, everything you experience in life comes through one of these five senses. That's how you encounter life. And God wants you to learn to encounter the Bible with every one of your senses. And that's what we're going to look at today as we study the Word together. And these are all found in James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. So let's look at this together. Follow with me on your outline, because first of all, I build my life on the Bible. I receive it with my ears. And we're talking about hearing the Word of God, hearing God speak to you. Romans 10:17 tells us, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ." So every time you hear a message, when you're hearing the Word, your faith is being built. In fact, you're doing this first one right now. You're listening to the Word of God being taught, and that builds your faith. James 1 verses 19 to 21 says this: "Everyone should be quick to listen," that's using my ears, "slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." It is the Word of God that saves us. And this passage teaches that I must receive it with my ears. Now notice it says, accept the Word. Now in the Greek, which is the language which James, the book of James, is written in Greek it is actually a hospitality term. It means to welcome the stranger. In other words, it's an acceptance, it's an attitude of acceptance. And so if you're going to get the Bible in your life, you've got to start with an attitude of acceptance. I welcome the Word. I accept the Word planted in me. Because notice it then says planted. And it's interesting that often through the Bible, the scripture is compared to a seed. The seed is the Word of God, and the soil is our hearts. The parable of the sower that Jesus told, in fact, teaches this. He says, receiving the Word is actually the seed being planted in your life. But your heart has to be prepared. So if you come to church and you got up late and you rushed in and you couldn't find a parking spot and you were all frustrated, you got in and you were just in a really irritated mood, and then you sat down and went, "Well, okay, God, I'm ready for you to talk to me," I'd probably argue that you're not in a receptive mood to hear God's voice, because you've got you're stressed, you're frustrated, you're running late, all those different kinds of things. That's why, actually, you can take two people to church, sit them side by side, one will walk out going, "Man, that was powerful, that gave me a lot to think about." And the other person's going, "Well, I didn't get anything out of that." What's the difference? Heart preparation. For good reception, this passage teaches you have to have four heart attitudes in order for you to hear God speak. The first one is this. It says, I must be quiet. That's where it starts. I must be quiet. To hear God speak to me, I've got to be quiet. It says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. You've got to be quiet. You can't hear God if you're talking all the time. Secondly, you've got to be calm. Not just quiet, but calm as well. Notice it says, and slow to become angry. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So why is it talking about anger when it's talking about the Bible? Well, because you don't hear much when you're angry or upset, do you? We know that. When we're all irritated or all frustrated, we stop listening. We don't hear. We can't really hear what somebody else is saying when we're all irritated, when we're really angry, when we get all uptight. And when you're emotionally upset, you become defensive. But on the other hand, when you are emotionally relaxed, you're quiet and you're calm, you can really hear what the other person is saying. The same thing is true in getting into the Bible. You've got to be quiet and calm if you're going to let God speak to you in the Bible. I mean, you can't be something like this. You can't say, God, look, I've got 5 minutes. Talk to me really quick. I've got to go. See you later. I mean, if you're frantic, you're not going to hear God speak to you, are you? The Bible says in one of the Psalms, be still and know that I am God. In other words, let me paraphrase that. Sit down and shut up. Be quiet and be calm. The third thing is I need to be clean. In other words, I can't have any junk in my life. Sin, in other words, sin piled up in my life if I expect to hear God speak to me. Notice it says, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. It's saying here, get rid of two things. Get rid of filth and get rid of evil. And it's interesting that this word filth, again in the Greek, is the word, believe it or not, is the word for earwax. I mean, that's really gross, isn't it? But what James is saying here, he says, get rid of all the earwax. Lovely. Look, the point is this. I can't hear God if I've got junk in my ear, if I'm mentally blocked. And you may say, well, you know, God never speaks to me. Well, you probably got earwax, emotional, spiritual, mental, ethical earwax. You can't hear God because you've got junk in your life. It plugs up the sound. So he says, get rid of all the filth, get rid of all the evil, which is anything we know in our lives that is wrong. Now, how do I do that? Well, the Bible calls it confession. Confession simply means to agree with God. We say, God, sorry, that was wrong. You're right, and I was wrong about this. And when you say that is confession. When you look at something and you say, Lord, it was wrong for me to say that to my kids. It was wrong for me to act that way towards those people. Lord, what I did there was wrong. You agree with God. That's called confession. So I get calm, I get quiet, and I get clean. And the fourth thing I need is I need to be humble. That's really important, that I don't come to God's word with an arrogant attitude, is that I'm humble. Notice it says, humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. What does it mean to be humble? It means to be ready to do whatever God tells me from his word. Because you see, if I come with a prideful attitude, kind of like, well, God, you tell me what you want me to do, and then I'll decide whether I'm going to do it or not, that isn't going to work. How do we expect God to speak to us if we're kind of saying to him, I'm going to judge you, whereas the word of God judges us? No, instead, I come humbly. Now, these are, if you like, the spiritual hearing aids for the first way to get God's word into your life. I receive, I accept God's word through my ears, I hear it, and I hear it by being calm and quiet and clean and humble. Now, that's a good way to get the word of God in your life. But if that's your only way, then you're not growing very much, because here's the thing, and this is something that depresses every preacher, pastor, is that you will forget 95% of what you hear within 72 hours, which is pretty depressing for someone like me. That's why, actually, I always encourage you to take notes, because by Wednesday, you would have forgotten everything that I have said just now, today. So you've got to move to the deeper ways. And so therefore, secondly, the second way to build my life on the Bible is to read it with my eyes. You might go, well, that's pretty obvious. I read the Bible. Well, let me just say that. That might sound obvious, but so many Christians don't read their Bible. You cannot grow without reading the Bible. James 1, 22 through 25 says this. Don't merely listen to the word. In other words, you ought to listen, but don't merely just listen to the word and so deceive yourselves because you're going to forget it. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word of God but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now that's what happens a lot of times on Sunday. You hear a message, and by the time you get home, you've already forgotten it. Notice he says he looks in a mirror, looks at himself, but then he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now there is a bit of humour here. Don't ever think the Bible hasn't got humour in it. It certainly has. It's daft, isn't it? You know, he looks in the mirror and then he forgets what he looks like. Look at this. But, now here's the opposite. James wants us to understand the opposite here. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law, that gives freedom, because the Bible sets us free, remember, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. You know, the whole reason we are doing 40 days in the Word is this. I want you to be blessed in every area of your life. Now, notice it says the person who looks intently. What's he talking about here? Well, he's talking about reading the Bible. But when I read it, I don't speed read it. I read it and then I reflect on it. I think about it. I ponder it. I look intently, is what he says. It says that the person who does this is like looking in a mirror. See, many times the Bible is compared to a mirror in Scripture. And what is the purpose of a mirror? Well, the purpose of a mirror is to evaluate ourselves, isn't it? The Bible helps us do that. It's the mirror of God's word that helps us evaluate ourselves, evaluate our lives. I mean, every one of you did it sometime today. When you got up this morning, at some point, most likely before you walked out the door, you paused and looked at a mirror to, well, kind of assess the damage from last night. Then you evaluated what needed to be changed before you walked out the door. You may have run a brush through your hair or washed your face or maybe you took the time to put on some makeup after you looked in the mirror. I don't know. But you did something. You looked in the mirror and acted upon it. By the way, did you know that Queen Elizabeth I, as she got older, she had all the mirrors removed from Buckingham Palace because she didn't want to see the fact that she was growing older. See, the mirror tells us exactly what's going on, doesn't it? Now, remember, there are two ways to look in the mirror. You can glance in the mirror or you can gaze in a mirror. Now, you don't want to just glance at the Word of God. That's kind of like a quick, rushed, Lord, look, I've only got 2 minutes. I'm going to look at it real quick and then I'm going to leave. No. Glancing at the mirror of God's Word isn't going to help you change. You've got to gaze at it intently. You look at the details. That's why it's important to have a Bible reading plan, to have a daily devotional, to have a quiet time. And during the 40 days in the Word, the workbook shows you how to do that. So, I want to receive God's Word with my ears, and I want to read God's Word with my eyes. The third way to build your life on the Bible is I research it with my hands and with my mouth. Now, what does that mean? Well, this is Bible study. Researching is Bible study. Now, is there a difference between Bible reading and Bible study? Absolutely. Bible study is when you have a pen and you're writing down what you've learnt. In fact, there are two components to study, writing it down and talking about it with somebody else. That turns reading into study. So when I write something down and I talk about it with somebody else, now I am studying Scripture. And that's one of the reasons why we believe in small groups. Because the way you study the Bible best is actually in a group. You listen and you write and you read and you talk and you discuss it. You use your hands and you use your mouth to study the Word of God. I write down what I learn. I talk about what I learn. That's the idea. So in the small group studies during 40 days in the Word, we're going to look at how to do this. Jesus says in John 5 verse 39, you search the Scriptures, and he's talking about Bible study here. You search the Scriptures because you believe they will give you eternal life, and the Scriptures point to me. And that's a really important thing to know and to understand. And we're going to look at this. We're going to look at how you can see Jesus in all throughout the Bible, all through the Old Testament, not just the New Testament. Don't think the Bible is just that Jesus appears just in the New Testament. He is throughout all pages of Scripture in different kinds of ways. And we'll look at that. You search the Scriptures, says Jesus. That's researching with my hands and with my mouth. In Acts 17, verse 11, Luke talks about a group of people in a city called Berea. And Berea was a little city in Greece. And he says this. He says, the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. That's another city in Greece. And they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the Scriptures, that study, not just reading it. They searched the Scriptures day after day to check up on Paul and Silas to see if they were really teaching the truth. These guys, they are searching the Scriptures. They're not just reading, they are studying, they are writing down what they have learnt. They're having a small group discussion, in fact. These people are listening to Paul preach, and then they're going over it, and they're having a small group discussion about it, which is what we do in our life groups. The third way is I research with my hands and with my mouth. The fourth way to build your life on the Bible is I review and remember with my mind. I review and I remember the Word of God with my mind. James 1:25 says this, the man who looks intently, that's reading, into the perfect law and continues to do this, that's reviewing, not forgetting what he's heard, that's remembering, he will be blessed in what he does. If you're going to be blessed in what you do, you've got to learn how to review and remember with your mind. And you need to continually do this. You're pondering, you're thinking about it over and over. You're remembering, not forgetting. And if you're serious about being spiritually strong and mature, you don't want to be a spiritual baby anymore. You don't want to be still on the bottle 10 years from now, do you, in effect? You want to be a godly man, a godly woman. You want to be spiritually and emotionally strong. The single greatest habit you can develop is the habit of memorizing the Scripture by hiding the word in your heart, by putting it in your mind. Why? Well, because when you need a Bible, it's never around, really, is it? When you're tempted, you don't have a Bible open by your side. You know, when you're witnessing, when you're talking to people about Jesus, when you're under stress, when you need comfort, when you have a crisis, very often there's not a Bible around. So you need to have it in your mind so you can remember it and review it right then. Now you may say, yeah, but I have a terrible memory. I can't remember anything. Well, let me challenge that, because you see, you remember what's important to you. You remember the phone numbers and the dates that are important to you, for example. And memory is a skill that you can get good at. Memory, it is like a muscle that you can actually get better at. So you may have a terrible memory, but you can improve your memory. That if you will learn to memorize Scripture, it will actually develop your memory. You'll have a better memory in other areas too. So what we're going to do during the 40 days in the Word, we're going to memorize one simple verse a week. Because when you need them, then God can call them to your mind. In other words, if I'm in bed at night, I can think about it because I've remembered that verse. If I'm driving somewhere, I can think about it because I've remembered that verse. But if I haven't memorized any verses, then I can't remember and review it. Now, in the Bible, there is a word for what we're talking about here. It is the skill of remembering and reviewing. This skill is called meditation. That's all meditation is. Meditation is simply remembering and reviewing Scripture in your mind. But the problem is, this word is so misunderstood, like it's some New Age thing when you sit in the lotus position and you put your mind in neutral and you contemplate your navel, something like that. That's not what the Bible means when it talks about meditation. Meditation is remember and review the Bible, and then you can do it anywhere. Now, why is this important? Well, Joshua 1 verse 8 says this, do not let this book of the law, that's describing the Bible, that's God's word, depart from your mouth, that means talk about it all the time, meditate on it, well, how often? Day and night, so that you will be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. God says, if I do what I tell you to do in this verse, you will be prosperous and successful if you meditate on my word day and night. In other words, you remember and you review it. And what we'll do in our life groups, we're going to learn the six ways to meditate on Scripture. So as we've been saying all along, you're going to want to be in a life group to get that. Meditating on the Word of God is thinking about it constantly. Now there's one more way that I build my life on the Bible. I receive it with my ears, I read it with my eyes, I research it with my hands, I write down notes, I talk about it, I review and remember it with my mind. Fifthly, I respond to it with my actions. That's the fifth thing that James tells us to do with the Bible. I respond to it with my actions. James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." In other words, turn it into actions. And it says, don't deceive yourself. Now how do we deceive ourselves? Well, we think if we've heard something, we've got it. No. See, I could talk to you about how to be a good parent, but if you don't do it, it doesn't help. You're just deceiving yourself. I could talk to you about how to build a balanced budget based on scriptural principles, but if you don't do it, you're just deceiving yourself. You only believe the parts of the Bible you actually do. We are to be doers of the word. That's why when I preach on a Sunday, my messages are full of application. Why? Because we are to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Now let's go back to that story I started with where Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7:24-27, he says this, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice," in other words, you are a doer of the word, you apply the word, you respond to it, "is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine," you come to church, you listen to them, but you don't put them into practice, "is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Now, I don't want that to happen to you. You see, we don't know the storms that are going to come into our life, do we? But I do know this. You will crumble if you don't have a solid foundation for your life. And the solid foundation for your life, it is not the opinions of others. It's not what's popular on the telly at the moment. It's not prevailing culture. Because that changes like the shifting sands. You must build your life on the unchanging Word of God. And when you build on truth, because you see, if it was true 1,000 years ago, it'll be true 1,000 years from today, won't it? Because truth does not change. It is a rock. And you need to build your life on the rock. If your life is not built on the rock, I'll tell you how you'll know. You will have stress. You'll be stressed out all the time because the sands are shifting and the house is tilting and you feel stressed and worried and anxious about that because your house isn't solid and steady because it's not built on something that doesn't change. Let's say if all your Bible intake is simply hearing it, you don't ever get any Bible in your life except for when you come to church. You know what? Satan could come along and before you get home, he's stolen it out of your life because you've forgotten 95% of what you hear. Or let's say you don't just come to church and you hear the Bible, you read it every day, that's better. But still, just hearing and reading is not enough. But if I hear the Word of God and I remember it and I read the Word of God and I research it, I study the Word of God with some friends in a life group and I review the Word of God and I remember it, I meditate on it and I respond to it, I am solid and I am secure and I don't get stressed out so much. Why? Because I'm building my life on the rock of God's word, that unchanging truth. And that's my goal for you for the next 40 days, that as we journey together through this 40 days in the word spiritual growth campaign, that you will build your life on the rock solid truth, the unchanging truth of God's word, and that you will grow. You will grow in your love for the scriptures, your love for Jesus Christ, because remember, he is in all of the scriptures. And you will have a love and a spiritual growth that will give you a depth and a maturity that everybody else will see. I hope that you will enjoy this time and join with me as we travel together through these next 40 days. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, may we all want to build our life on the rock, not on sand. Help us to build our life on the Bible, a solid foundation of truth. And I pray that we would all commit the next 40 days to learning how to do these things, to receive your word with our ears, to hear God speak to us, to read your word with our eyes and to begin a regular habit of Bible reading, to research your word with a life group where we can write it down and discuss it and talk it out, to study your word and learn to meditate, to remember and to review your word throughout the day, and to respond to your word and do what it says. Lord God, may you help us to do this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.